Ephesians chapter 5, we'll look at a couple of verses there. We'll have a look around at a few different verses. Going to be looking at being on guard. Being on guard tonight in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual battle. The devil is on the attack. He's on the offensive. We need to be defensive and offensive. Some people don't like it when I'm offensive. I was really grumpy the other day and Sarah said that now isn't the time to start an argument. I said, this is the perfect time to start an argument. I'm grumpy. I didn't start an argument though. You got to be careful though. We are in a spiritual battle. Open up to Ephesians chapter 5 and we'll just have a look at a couple of verses here. Then we'll go into Ephesians chapter 6 and a bit of 1 Peter and have a look around at a few different verses here. But Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15 and 16, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." We're living in evil days. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, that you are all-powerful and you are on our side and you are living in us and you are with us all of the time, Lord, and you are more powerful and you are stronger and you have defeated the devil, Lord, and we just thank you that we stand and we can be strong in you, Lord, and just help us to be wise and teach us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. See then that you walk circumspectly. Who's been at this church for more than 10 years? Does anyone, do you remember that Sunday school song? You sort of missed out. You want a special? See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Yeah, that's a Sunday school song. That was before any of your guys' times. I'm sure of it. You don't know that song? If you found that one, you found it in there? Okay, it was there. There was a few Bible verses, and I've actually memorized that verse because of that song. So there isn't. Sometimes songs are useful. But see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So we need to be walking around, being observant. Circumspectly is a really cool word. Circle, circumnavigate the world. Speckly, spectacles. Looking around and being observant and being on the lookout and on guard and being wise with the time that we have, because redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We need to be alert to what's going on around us. We need to be on guard with the spiritual realm that is going on. There is a huge battle that is going on. Let's just look over to chapter 6 and verse 10. We'll read these verses. These are all well known. Most of you should have read this before. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints." We're in a spiritual battle. Many people, I think, don't know that we're in a spiritual battle, or they don't believe that we're in a spiritual battle, or they actually don't realize how serious the spiritual battle actually is. It's really, really serious. We are in a fight for our lives. Our lives are actually in danger. Our physical lives are actually in danger. But even more so, our spiritual lives are actually in a lot of danger. And that is more serious because that is an eternal danger. You know, you talk about, you don't talk about it. When I say you, I don't always mean you guys, but people say we're having a spiritual experience, right? Having a spiritual experience. But you know what? I think I've learned that we aren't physical people having a spiritual experience. I actually think we're spiritual beings having a physical experience because we are eternally a spirit that has eternal life. And you're going to have that life in one of two places. The Bible tells us this. And for this time that we have on this earth, we are actually having a physical experience. And this physical experience isn't going to last forever. Okay? We know that. We're getting old. I'm getting old. I got shingles. I thought that was only for old people, so I must be getting old. My mum said I'm getting old if I got shingles. I mean, this is serious. Okay? So, like, this body is going to die. It's going to give up. There has been times in my life where I have actually feared for my life. I've nearly died. I've had near-death experiences. One time I was so scared, being the passenger of a car, that I literally feared for my life. Okay? And this life will be over at some point. And the devil wants to destroy us. Okay? He wants to destroy us physically. He wants to destroy us spiritually. And he will do what he can to distract us, to get us off track, to get us away from the Lord, to stop people from coming to the Lord. Or he will do, he's a murderer, and he's a liar, and he's a thief. And that's what he was from the beginning. That's what the devil is. That is who our enemy is. And Paul is writing to the church here, and going back to verse 5, he's telling them to be wise. Be wise in your time. Now, we live in evil days, we definitely do. When Paul was writing this, and if you know anything about Roman history, study a little bit about Roman history because it's really quite interesting. It actually was happening at the same time as Jesus and when the Bible was being written. And we had Nero, Emperor Nero, who was totally demon-possessed, was a really evil dude and was killing people, Christians, putting them in the Colosseum. Well, not just the Colosseum. Actually, the Colosseum wasn't built by this stage. So in the arenas, the Circus Maximus and these things like this, fighting them against lions and gladiators and he tortured them and tied them up and set them on fire and they were lighting up his garden parties, things like that. He was a pretty evil dude, okay? And Paul is saying that the days are evil. And he's saying, as a Christian, you need to look out. Be careful. Did you know, actually, here's a fun fact about the Romans. Emperor Titus, was it Emperor Titus who sacked Jerusalem? Destroyed the temple, all the gold and the silver and everything was that. And the Colosseum was built and funded by the gold and silver that was taken from the temple in Jerusalem. So I actually wonder as Christians if I shouldn't like the Colosseum anymore. It was literally funded that way. And you see the Arch of Titus, you know, that big arch, and they're carrying the menorah, you know, the carvings of them, carrying all the spoils away from Jerusalem. So this was the time that Paul was writing, and the church was in Ephesus at that time, in what was is Turkey today. It's next to Galatia if you were in Sunday school, like you've got Galatia, you know, you've got the Mediterranean, and Turkey's up here, Galatia, and it was around here. Ephesus over the right of what's Turkey now, heading over towards Greece and those directions. And he's writing this at this time, and he's telling them to be on guard, okay? To be on guard. And Paul here in chapter 6, he's describing the Roman soldier, okay? And we've turned this into this pretty fluffy little Sunday school lesson and these cute little flannel graph things here. And you put the guy on and you put the belt on and you put his shield on and it's all cutesy-wootsy little flannel graph stuff here. But it was actually a brutal, bad time to live in. They didn't just crucify people for nothing. Legally speaking, Jesus shouldn't have been crucified. Legally. But they crucified people as a show of power. Because they were an occupying army that was behind enemy lines holding conquered territory at the time. And they were behind enemy lines and had to be ready all the time to stop an uprising or to It just, you know, stop a riot, and you read through Acts, and the people were there rioting, and they were pulling Paul apart, things like this, and all this stuff happened, and they were actually an army and a force that were there, and Paul describes them because they were always ready for action. They were ready for war. If anyone did anything out of line, they had the authority and the power just to, ooh, let's make a show of him, we'll crucify him. That's why they crucified people, as a show. If you decide to think you are tough and you saw a little Roman guard over there and you decided to go and, you know, do one in or something like this, they would take you and crucify you. That's what they did to keep people under control. That's what they did. And Paul is describing the Roman soldiers because they knew that they were on dangerous ground. The Romans knew that they had to be ready to fight and to kill. And as you know, through history, they were a brutal force. They had amazing tactics. I know sometimes you study about the Romans and you go, man, these guys were amazing. And then you sometimes go, man, I shouldn't like these guys. They were so bad. And like their tactics and how they fought and won and locked their shields together and they fought and they just marched over and just took it all. Okay, and so he's describing Christians as that. We are Christians and we are behind enemy lines. We are in Satan's territory. Just like a Roman soldier is there behind enemy lines and has to be ready to fight all the time and has their shield and their helmet and their sword. They had that little dagger. You know, they didn't have these great big long European swords. They had this short little gladius. You know, that double straight. It was just four. Like, they were brutal. And they had this little dagger. When that got dropped, they had the dagger. Man, they are... Their weapons, they had one purpose. And they had one job. And it was to control, and it was to conquer. And that's what they had to do. And Paul is describing the Roman soldiers here, and he's describing us that to Christians. And imagine if Christians really understood that they were behind enemy lines and they really needed to be ready to defend themselves and to attack. We need to be offensive. We need to be defensive. We need to protect ourselves. We need to advance as well. Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. And we need to be ready, just as ready as a Roman soldier was, ready to fight and prepared. And they didn't sit around with blunt swords and their shields just laying over there in the corner and things like this. They were always ready. And as Christians, we need to always be ready as well. We need to always be ready. This is what it says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, that one Roman soldier wasn't there on his own. He was part of something bigger. He was part of something bigger. And there was thousands. There was thousands and thousands and thousands of Roman soldiers. I don't know how many there was. They like conquered and ruled for like 400 years, okay? There was a lot of them at different times. They went all the way to England. They went all the way over that way. And they went up in Africa and all over the place. And they conquered. And there's still stuff today from the Romans. Like literally bridges, roads, buildings. That's interesting, watching archaeology TV shows and documentaries and stuff, and they're digging up this stuff. I mean, they had plumbing. Come on. We're living in New Guinea, and they still don't even have plumbing. These people had heated hot water. Their bathhouses were heated. They were advanced, man, I'll tell you what. And they knew what they were doing, and they were part of something bigger. Each soldier, he wasn't on his own. He wasn't a lone wolf. He was part of a garrison or a legion, or he was like an officer, and they were under authority, and they took orders, and they gave orders, and they obeyed, and they did it to the death. They literally did. And as Christians, we need to realize that we are also part. We're not the only Christians here, you know. You feel like we're here and this is this church and there's not many people here. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. There's that many people of us. And we are actually not representative of all the Christians in this area. And in Australia and in Queensland, and we had, what's that, Gabby's sister was up here. And is his name David? I keep going to say Andy. Andy's his brother. I think I know Andy more than David. And they're from Victoria, and there's Christians. We've been to their church down in Benalla, and there's Christians there, and there's Christians here, and there's Christians in Townsville, and there's Christians in Sydney, and there's Christians in Perth, and there's Christians all over the place. And we are actually part of something bigger. We're part of something bigger. And that Roman soldier knew that he had something behind him. He had something behind him, all right? And it says, look, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, okay? It's not talking about your might. Paul isn't telling us to get fit and get strong and start doing push-ups and make sure you can run heaps of kilometers and carry bags and lift weights and throw rocks and fight and be able to do all this stuff. And it doesn't say, and be strong in the power of your might. He's not saying that. He's saying, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We have God behind us. We have God. We have God the creator. We have the ruler. We have the one who's in charge of all things behind us. He is backing us, and we are his people. And this morning we were looking in Galatians, and we are his children. We are his sons. We are adopted into his family, and we can go to God and ask him anything, and if it's in his will, he'll give it to us. We have God's power. We need to do it in his strength, not in our own strength. It says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, okay? You need to be armed, you need to be prepared, you need to have your armor on. Those Romans knew how to put their armor on and how to wear it and what it was good for and what they could and couldn't do in it, right? And we need to stand in God's power, okay? We can't stand in our own power. We can't just go. And I love that story. Bible story. Stories sound like fairy tales, okay? The Bible isn't a story. It's history. Read Acts, and I don't know what chapter it's in. Mate, you would know anyway, the seven sons of Sceva. It's awesome, those guys. They try and go cast out a devil, and they go, we adjure you by the God that Paul preaches. And they go, oh, yeah, Paul we know, and Jesus we know, but who are you? And they beat those dudes up, and seven of them, they get beaten up, and they run out. You know, they're trying to do it in their power, all right? They weren't God's people. They didn't have God behind them. Paul, he just walks up and prays for them. You read Acts 16. That's why he's in prison. Acts chapter 16 at the start. And they're praying by the river, and there's that damsel who's possessed by a spirit. And she's going, yeah, these are the people. Yeah, they're preaching Jesus, you know. She's got the spirit of divination, you know, that history. And then Paul casts the evil spirit out of her, and then her bosses realize that they've lost their money because she had the spirit of divination, you know. And Paul just prayed and in Jesus' name cast the spirit out. Through Jesus, but those other guys, through their own strength and their own power, said, through Jesus, who Paul preaches, they tried to do it in their own power. But we need to do it in God's power. We need to put on the whole armor of God, and we need to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We can't do it on our own. We can't do it. You know, the devil is tricky. And that's what that word means, wiles, you know. Wile coyote, you know, Wile coyote, roadrunner. He had all sorts of tricks up his sleeves, didn't he, man? He had dynamite, he had rockets, he had booby traps, he had all sorts of cool tricks up his sleeves, you know. I wish I could just ring up Acme and get like Acme. Anyway, but that's what the devil is. He is cunning and he is tricky and he has schemes and plans, and he will know what to do. He will push your buttons, and he will tempt you, and he will try you, and he will do all sorts of things, and we need to be able to stand against it. And we can't do it on our own. We need to do it in God's power, because it tells us in verse 12, look at what it says. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Okay, we're not fighting people. Okay, devil uses people. And there are false teachers and false religions and false prophets and all these things, but ultimately they're just used of the devil. They're deceived. They are lost, and the devil is using these people. And we aren't wrestling against people, but we're wrestling against principalities. Okay? Against powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. How can you fight that? How can you fight that? You can't shoot that. You can't bomb that. And this is talking about ranks, you know, ranks. In the army, there's the, who's the top dude? The brigadier, and then you've got all captains and lieutenants and blah, 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 blah. It goes down, and you've got sergeants and corporals, and you've got all of these ranks, and you've got different authorities, and that's like the devil. He's got an army, and the devil's at the top, and he's got ranks, and he's got authorities, and he's got principalities, and there's powers, and there's a whole spiritual army out there that is working against us, and is working against God, and he wants to overthrow God, but he's lost, and God's already beaten him. He knows what his end is, but he's going to do as much damage and destruction as he can. And that's what we're fighting against. And he will take as many people as he can. He will destroy Christians and will hinder people from getting saved. That's what he'll do. That's what he'll do. And as Christians, we need to not be unaware of these things. Verse 13, it says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. See, God's behind us, and he's provided us with what we need. He's given us the armor that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Okay, the days are evil. Ephesians 5, that's that verse, the redeeming the time because the days are evil. And verse 13 over here, it says that we may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, we need to be able to stand and win and endure and not be devoured by the devil. Look at 1 Peter 5:8. I'm sure you know this verse. 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Be sober. Be sober. Be vigilant. You need to be alert. You need to be awake. You need to be seeing what's going on. You need to see what this is. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. Don't just sit there not knowing what's going on and then suddenly it's there. Be alert. Be on guard. Be what's going on. It is hard work to be a Christian, I tell you. It is hard to be a Christian. I mean, if we could just sit there and be lazy and just watch TV and just fill your head with all the stuff that's just going on and going, duh, and become brain dead and just go to work and come back and go to work and come back and just not watching what's going on and not being prepared for what's happening, I tell you what, it'd be a whole lot easier. But you know what? That's not what God wants from us. We need to be wise. We need to see what's coming because the devil is on the prowl, you know. And if you've watched documentaries of stuff, watch those Africa documentaries, and you see the lions, they're stalking through the bush, you know, and that gazelle is just sitting there, just minding its own business, and he's going, oh, yummy grass, nom 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 nom, and he's just eating. And over there's that lion creeping through the bush. It's suspenseful, isn't it? It's like, oh, and then you see its ear pricks up, it hears something, and you're like, oh, it's going to get away. And you know what the lion does? He doesn't rush, does he? He crouches and waits longer, lulls him into a false sense of security. And the gazelle goes, okay, it's all good. It's focused on its grass, you see. It's not being vigilant. It's not looking around. It's not being wise. It's not looking circumspectly. And it's just eating there. And then the lion's creeping through the bush and it's just eating its grass and going dum-de-dum-de-dum. And it's getting closer and closer. And then it goes for it, eh? And it's always exciting. You see it launch. And I'll be honest, every time, I hate when the gazelle gets away. It's so disappointing. I'm like, yeah, I don't know if that's wrong of me or what. But then it pounces and it runs and suddenly this thing has got to go, oh no, I'm in trouble. And he bolts. And you know, sometimes it gets it and it gets it. Sometimes it gets away. Sometimes it doesn't. And then it crunches it and you see it, it's dead. And they drag it up into a tree or do something like this with it, you know. And it's a very graphic picture, but it's what is given to us here in the Bible about what the devil does. Okay, the devil wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy Christians. He wants to ruin our testimonies. He wants us to fall into sin. He wants to kill you physically, spiritually. And he's tricky about the way he does it, you know. Like it says there, go back to Ephesians chapter 6, where it says that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Do you know what the devil sometimes says to people? You know what he doesn't say? Sometimes he doesn't say, don't go to church. Do you know what else he says? He says, he doesn't say to people, don't get saved. But sometimes he'll say, not yet. Just wait. My stepdad, wasn't really my stepdad, I guess he kind of was. He was a criminal. He was a heroin addict, been in and out of jail, spent 20-odd years in jail, been in and out and in and out and in and out and all sorts of stuff. And he died. He died in 2011 on Christmas Day. He was 55. He died. Spent 20 years in jail out of 55 years. And I saw him. We were back in Australia. Simi had broken his arm. Sarah and the rest of the boys were in New Guinea. Simi broke his arm and we flew back to get his arm operated on and pinned. And we were staying at my sister's place over in Malanda, and he came up and visited. And this was in 2011. I don't know, in early May, some early months in 2011. And he was living down near Mwollumbah or something like this, and he was a mess. He was a mess. He was like dead already. He literally looked like a zombie. He was on like the methadone program at the chemist and everything, you know, the takeaway stuff, and that's what he was doing. He had to get it moved because he was come up to visit. He had to get it in Malanda, and it was a bit of a rigmarole to have him around. And he was like so skinny. He was so skinny. He had a titanium plate in his arm here where it was screwed in, and you could like see it through his skin. You know, he just was so gaunt, and his eyes were all sunk and everything. And this guy, he's heard the gospel, right? He has heard the gospel. And so we were staying there, and he was visiting, and I was talking to him, and I said, Mick's his name. I said, Mick, you need to get saved. You are about... He's got cirrhosis of the liver, right? His body is just shutting down. His kidneys, his liver is just gone. 55 years of drugs and alcohol and prison and fights. Like, he got in a fight with his brother and he stabbed him and everything. And all of this stuff. And his body was just dying. And he was dying, and he couldn't dress himself. Like, he was so shaky, and he was like this. He was really tall. He was like over 6 foot tall, and he was tall as and skinny. And I got a picture of him. And he looked terrible. And we heard him fall over in the room. I thought he died, hey. We were really scared. He fell over. I was like, we're waiting. And he was like, yeah, trying to put his pants on, and he fell over. Like, he was just... And I said, you need to get saved. He says, you're going to die. He's like, the doctors have told him, like, you don't have long to live. That's why he was up visiting his daughter and his grandkids and stuff at the time. And he was just doing like, and he was off his head, and he was just a mess. It's like, you need to know the Lord. You're going to die pretty soon. Like, you can die at any moment. He's like, yeah, I know. Like, I'm not going to live. I'm not going to deny. I know I'm on my way out. And so I'm like, guy, like, man, you need to know the Lord. You know about Jesus, and you need to get saved, and you need to trust the Lord, because you're going to die and you're going to go to hell. And he goes, yeah, I know. I know, I believe it, I've heard it all before, and I know, I need to sort my life out first. I'm like, no, you do not. He goes, I need to get off this methadone, and I need to get off all of this stuff, and then after I do that, and after I sort out my life and sort this stuff out, then I can get saved. And I said, no, you can't do that. Like, if he would die, you know. He's one of those people that you just keep him on it, right? He's going to die. He will just die if he goes off it. And I was like, you need to get saved. Like, you do not need to get, just come as you are. Jesus wants you as you are. Just come now before it's too late, because you don't know what's going to happen. And he says, no, no, no. And he rejected the Lord. And he said, not yet. And he died. He died on Christmas Day. And it was sad. In 2011, we were back in New Guinea by this point, and my sister rung me or sent me a message or something and told me that, you know, he passed away. And it was sad. Well, there was a lot of people who weren't sad. There was a lot of people who were like, oh, finally, this guy's gone. He's a pain in the neck. But it's sad, you know. And he said, not yet. Not yet. I need to do something first. And that's one of the tricks of the devil, isn't it? And the devil won, right? Hey, I'm not saying that he didn't get saved. I don't know. He may have called on the Lord at the last second. Who knows? We don't know. Doesn't look like it, but, you know, we just, well, hey, whatever, I don't know, okay? It's sad. And that's what the devil does. He'll deceive you, and he will trick you, and he will convince you that it's okay. Did God really say not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Did he really say that? Nah, you won't die. The wages of sin is death, you know, like, yeah. And that's what the devil does. So be careful, because he is tricky, he is cunning, and we need to be on guard as Christians. And also, we need to be careful with the people around us, because, hey, who knows what can happen there. We need to put on the whole armor of God. Ready? Let's just read through this. We don't have a whole lot of time here, not going right into it. Verse 14, it says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Okay, the truth shall set you free. Do you know what? Do you know what? It is truth. The Bible is truth. And it's the truth that will set you free. It is the truth that will give you salvation, because Jesus is truth. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Oh, yeah, but all other religions will get to heaven in the end anyway. If you're faithful, and those people are very faithful in their religion, and because they were faithful, you know, God will accept them in and stuff like this. But that's not... Jesus isn't a way, he is the way. We need to know the truth. We need to know what the truth is, so that when somebody says something that's not the truth, we can know that, hey, mate, sorry, but that's not true. That's actually not the truth. And the breastplate of righteousness, oh, the righteousness of Christ. I was talking about this morning. It's the righteousness of Christ that covers us. Talks about it in Hebrews. Christ's imputed righteousness is put on us. When God sees us as Christ. He sees us as the end result. We are righteous because of Christ. And that is our breastplate. That's our armor. In verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, be ready to give the gospel. And above all, taking the shield of faith. The shield of faith. You know, he's describing the Romans here. Remember, they didn't have this piddly little buckler thing where you can just, it's only this big. They had a big shield that was huge. And it was strong, and like arrows could bounce off it. It was a massive thing. It was like this big and this high. And like I said, and they interlocked on the corners, and they just did, you know, they all got in line, and they had their big long spears, and man, you could throw rocks at them, you could shoot arrows at them, and nothing would happen. They were like a tortoise shell, like a tank, human tank back in the day. And they had their shields. And that's our shield. And that's what I tell my boys. It's like, that's our faith, right? And it's like, you can hear what people say. You might work with people, and Joshua works at the stock feed place here, and the boss there is this SDA guy, and he's like pretty into his conspiracy theories, and he says all this whacked out kind of stuff. It's not true. It's not the truth, right? And I said, Joshua, no matter what he says, just hear it and go, I don't care what you say. I don't believe it, because I believe what the Bible says. And that's your faith, and that's your shield. Okay, I actually believe what the Bible says. Yeah, I'm hearing what you're saying, okay. And he had some pretty interesting conversations with the guy who tells us about it. And he's hide behind your shield of faith. No matter what they say, let it bounce off. Because look at what it says. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And they come. And they come fast. And they come from every angle and all directions. But hide behind your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Bible and what you know of God. And just go, okay, you can throw that at me. That's fine, but I don't believe it. Okay, you can throw that at me. I believe the Bible. I believe what the Bible says. Say what you want. Whatever happens, I'm going to believe in the Lord. And I'm not going to give up. And be advancing and standing and being in your armor and being in the truth. And knowing you're saved, look at verse 17, take the helmet of salvation. Okay, you need to know you're saved. Know you're saved. If you don't know you're saved, if you don't protect your head is pretty important. I mean, a hit to the head, you're done. Like, even a punch to the head. You know, what was happening a few years ago in the pubs, the big king hit thing where they'll run up behind people, cracking them in the back of the head, knocking them out. Some people were, like, getting killed from it, and then they're permanently brain damaged. Stuff like this, you know, you protect your head. It only takes one hit. You know, I met this guy and he was a bit of a fruitcake and I thought that dude has had done some serious drugs. And the pastor said, no, he was actually had a head injury. And I'm like, oh, and then I felt bad. I felt bad. I said, oh, man, I am so sorry. I said to the pastor, I said, oh, I thought this dude had done a bit too much drugs. And he was at the back of the church. He was like dancing, doing the robot while I was preaching. Like, it was pretty kind of funny. But he had a head injury and it messed him up big time. All right? And so the helmet of salvation, you need to know you're saved. Because if you don't know you're saved, and if you doubt, well, you're not very effective, is it? Well, maybe, yeah, okay. Do you know what I hate? I heard, and this guy said it to me, I was doing devotions in school, and this guy was visiting and he was in the classroom. I don't even know what he was there for. It was like there for something, I don't know. And then he kind of butted in, and I've heard this guy said this, but I've heard other people say it too. And he says, you know what? And it just killed it, right? And he says, what did he say? He said, well, if it's not entirely true, it's not a bad thing to believe anyway. You're not going to go wrong if you do believe it if it's not true. I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? I'm just giving the gospel to these kids here, and then you sum up and say, well, even if it's not true, then it's a good thing to believe anyway. You're like in a win-win situation, is basically what he's saying. And I'm just like going, and he's not the only person that I've actually literally heard somebody say the exact same thing. I don't know, it must be some kind of teaching from somewhere or doctrine. They were like, I don't know, but he said it's not a bad thing to believe even if it is wrong. I'm just like, whoa. Like, where's your assurance? Where's your faith? And then how are you going to be effective in your own spiritual life and in your own teaching and your reading? It's like, well, it's not a bad thing to read, I suppose. It's probably not true, but it's not like the worst book in the world. I could be reading worse stuff, eh? Like, it just was so undermining of everything. And the Bible tells us that we can know that we have salvation, you know? What's that? 1 John 5:13, these things are written that you may know that if you believe in the Son of Man, you have eternal life. Paraphrase, not exactly. Don't throw books at me for getting it wrong. But that's the reference, 1 John 5:13. You can know, these things are written, that you may know that you have eternal life. So take the helmet of salvation and know you're saved and know where you stand with the Lord and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We need to know this. We need to know what this says. Okay? We need to read this more than anything else. You need to know the Bible, because when people say things, you actually go, well, hang on a minute, and think about Jesus. In Matthew chapter 4, when he was tempted by the devil, he went up there. Now think about this, okay? Read Matthew chapter 4, study it. And it says he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Okay, Jesus wasn't in the wrong spot at the wrong time. He was in the right spot at the right time, doing the right thing. He was led of the Spirit to be tempted, and Jesus, every time, he said, it is written. And all the quotes that he quoted were from Deuteronomy. They were all there. They are all there in the Bible. You go back and quote it. And if the Bible is good enough for Jesus to quote and win against the devil, then we can use it as well. And I've used it. I've used it against people, and people say things, and you say, well, the Bible says this. And they go, well, I don't believe the Bible. I said, well, I do. Well, that's your shield of faith, isn't it? I believe what the Bible says. You can throw what you want at me, but this is what the Bible says. You need to know what the Bible says. Know what the Bible says so that you can use it and you can win ground for the Lord, because Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. No matter what's happening, God's church is still going. It's still moving forward. It is still advancing. Yes, the church has tares and it has goats in it and it looks bad, but it is the bride of Christ and it is still moving forward, and God knows who are the tares and who are the goats and who are the sheep and who are the wheat. So what's our job? What's our job? Praying always. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying for people, prayers and supplications. Praying for people, making requests and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. Persevering and praying and making supplication for all saints. Pray for each other. Pray for people. Pray for everyone. Pray for the persecuted. The Bible tells us, pray for kings, pray for governors, pray for our rulers. Pray for Israel. Pray for Ukraine. Pray for Russia. Pray for Putin. Imagine if he got saved. You laugh. Imagine it. It'd be awesome. Whoa, pull out of Ukraine. I made a mistake, everyone. Someone would assassinate him in 2 minutes, but hey. Imagine if he did. What about the president? What's his name? Benjamin Netanyahu? How do you say that name? Netanyahu? What if he got saved? What if Israel got saved? Okay. Pray for Israel. And we know what the Bible says about Israel anyway. Hey, pray for God to show himself strong. Okay, that's what we need to do. Let's go back. Let's just look at Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. We'll finish up on these verses. Ready? See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The devil is on the attack. And we don't need to give him any more victories. Stand in the power of his might. We have God behind us. And we have an army of soldiers. We're not the only people. One soldier can't do it. It takes the battalion, it takes the company, it takes all of them people to do the work. It doesn't just take one person. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you. And Lord, we do know that we are in a spiritual battle, but help us to be wise and help us to see things coming. Help us to be planning ahead and to be prepared. Help us to be watchful and vigilant and alert to what's going on around us, Lord. And we just do pray that you watch over us this week as we go out into the different places where we work and our neighborhoods and the people that we have contact with, our neighbors and friends and people at work. Help us to be wise and help us to be an example, Lord. And help us to be standing in your armor that you have given us, Lord, and in your power. Lord, we just pray you watch over us and protect us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.